you ever find yourself looking for a good conversation starter, or even just something to talk about with family, friends, a partner, maybe a coworker? Welcome to the Offsides Podcast. This is a perspective show where we dive into all things sports and pop culture to keep you up to date. You might be asking yourself, why is this helpful to me? Going on a date with a sports fan? We'll get you caught up with the latest happenings, so you'll be sure to impress.
Want to know what's going on in pop culture or celebrity news? We've got you covered. We have the newest and hottest news about who's dating who, what the heck they were wearing, and even all the tea for popular reality TV shows. Offside is hosted by myself, Sonia.
And me, Andrew.
Giving you two perspectives on any topic and how to include it in any conversation. We are the hub for all things conversation starters and cannot wait to hear how our news, sports, and pop culture insight led to successful and engaging conversations.
Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm Andrew with an A.
And I'm Sonia with a J, and you're listening to Offsides. We are your one-stop shop for all things conversation starters, and we're so excited you joined us today and to tune in and listen to the Offsides podcast. So we're going to get started.
I want to ask you, we talk about sports a lot on this show and we start with sports. Is it off-putting to you when someone is a big sports fan? Does that intimidate you at all or no?
Actually, that doesn't. That makes it more of a challenge for me personally. I grew up in a very sports-oriented family, so I kind of like to stun them with a couple like facts per se. Something different than what they're normally, because I feel like there's a stigma where like girls don't know anything about sports or anything that's like happening currently. So I don't think so. I think it's more of a turnoff for me if they don't watch any sports at all.
I got you. So how do you typically bring sports up, or do you wait for the person that you're with to talk about sports before you do?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I think that's something is a good topic to talk about on a first date, because regardless, like wherever you are, you know, you could be like, oh, or like, are you a, you know, Patriots fan? Are you a Cubs fan? Are you a Jaguar fan? Like, so based on where you are, you can always ask if they're a fan of any sports team there. Then you can kind of figure out if they really like sports or don't like sports, or like, oh, I'm a fan of the Eagles because I grew up here. So it kind of branches you off to other topics and leads to other things, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think so too, and it's something that you can definitely connect on. Something, sports has always brought people together,
yes.
So when you talk about it, it's definitely something like, oh, no way, I support that team, or oh, my grandma loved the Cubs.
Yes, I think that's a very good thing, as well as like college. So you could even say, what's your professional sports team name, the sports, or you could say, what's your college team? I remember I met a friend of mine, her boyfriend. I was talking to him about sports and everything, and he was explaining to me into this whole detail of why he likes certain teams, and the conversation went for like 15, 20 minutes, which I did not expect, but hey, you know, what's your favorite sports team, why, where locally or where, you know, in the world, why do you like them? So that's always something that can branch out to not just sports and like lead to, oh, I used to visit there all the time for holiday or something.
Right, yeah, that's awesome that you had a full conversation, and it sounded like you had just met this guy, but you could definitely keep things going, and the conversation never felt like it was broken or it was breaking down.
No, and it was interesting too, because I told her after I met him, I was like, oh, he seems really nice, great handshake, which is a big telltale sign. I'm a big fan of a great handshake. He was like, wow, she really knows a lot about sports, and I just laughed. I said, I just took what I listened to in the last week's podcast and plugged it in.
So funny, so funny. I'll tell you what is broken down, though. That conversation clearly wasn't. What's broken and busted is my bracket.
Oh, me and you both.
Actually, you're not doing too bad. All of your Final Four teams are still alive.
This is true.
Syracuse and FSU, I remember we talked about last week. That's who you have in the championship. Which was kind of a surprise, because FSU is a number 4 seed and Syracuse, I believe, is an 11 seed.
Yes.
So having them go that far was a little bit of a shock, but hey, you're rolling. You clearly knew what you were doing.
You know what? Sometimes it's all about the colors. And if you knew someone that went to that school, or just the name. Even just the name sometimes. Like, I like the name, or like I've heard of that name frequently. Also, the day I made my bracket, I did listen to a radio show that was saying the top 14, so that might have influenced me a little.
There you go. I mean, I had Illinois, a heavy favorite, winning the whole thing, and they're out.
Yeah, I was shocked by that because they did so well this year, and it's kind of a bummer how they kind of just faded, and there was a lot of, like, bracket busters. I know Purdue, that was unfortunate. You know, a couple other teams that I saw, and it's interesting to see that this tournament, like, brings out the best, I guess, of teams and, like, when to perform under pressure. So I love it.
Yeah, I was in the camp of, given everything that's going on, no fans, that these lower-seeded teams wouldn't be able to really feel that energy and feed off of that. And the number one teams in the country were going to show why they were the number one team in the country. But I was so wrong. The lower-seeded teams have been spectacular. It's been exciting. And we could definitely have a Cinderella story winner this year in maybe Florida State or Syracuse.
So if the Final Four, I will be sitting at a sports book, a bar. I will be there, a beer in my hand, maybe a margarita, depending on how I feel. And I will be supporting any jersey I feel like that day and watching it till the end. I am so excited. This is really a cool sporting event that it doesn't necessarily matter. Like, yeah, people are bummed out when their team loses, but it kind of brings, like you said, people together. And, like, you can meet people from all over the country and you could talk about it. Like, oh, you went to Michigan, or oh, you went here. I remember I was out over the weekend and I saw people supporting stuff, and that's a perfect way to start a conversation. You can see where they're from or why they support that team or something along those lines, and I think it's really cool even if your team doesn't win. So that's always something. Going out this weekend or, you know, out with friends and you see a jersey or you see that, oh, why? Why that team? Did you go there? Oh, I had a friend that, you know, that's always a good way to start a conversation and to bridge it into something that could be potentially a lot more.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, you talk about, oh, you lived here, you went to school here, I have relatives here. You've lived a lot of places. I believe on our Instagram post in which you introduced yourself, which if you're not following us on Instagram, offside_media, find us there. You can learn more about both of us. But you said you had lived in 4 different states, correct?
4 different states, yes. I lived in the sunny California. I've lived in Windy City, Chicago. I've lived in, I'm not sure what they're known for, but Indiana. And then I've lived in Nevada.
That's awesome. And you said you had driver's licenses in 3 of those states.
3 of those states. Can you guess them?
I'm going to go Nevada. We're okay. Here right now. I know you've got that Nevada driver's license.
It's beautiful. I will never give that up.
I'm going to say Indiana.
Okay.
And I don't know if you live in California at a driver's license age. That's what I'm trying to consider. So I'm going to go Illinois when you were in Windy City, Chicago.
So you got 2 correct. I do have my Nevada license. It's the one when I switched it to being horizontal when I was of age. And then I got my driver's license in California. It was so sad when I had to give it up. And when I went to Illinois, I got an Illinois license, which is crazy because the Illinois license is so thick. It's like the consistency, I guess you could call it. And it was so different. And I remember my dad and I were in Illinois at the time, and he goes, okay, I'm going to take you to the DMV. Let's go. So I said, hey, I just want to get my Illinois driver's license. I have one from California. He goes, okay, do you want to take a driver's test? I said, no, I'm a great driver. Why do I need another test? I passed. He goes, we're going to have to give up your license in order to not have to take the driver's test. And I thought about it for a whole minute. I was like, here you go. Just in case I don't want to fail. And then I asked him, I said, sir, what are you going to do with that? Like, it's a good picture. Like, I took a lot of time to make sure that picture looked good and my signature looked good. He goes, we put it on a Christmas tree. I said, I'm done here. Give me my new license.
I want to know, though, what would you have done with your California license?
Well, I still have my Illinois license.
And do you just pull it out and look at it every now and then? Or
no, sometimes. I have it in, like, a cube thing. And it was like an old wallet of mine, all this, my stuff. I have different IDs, you know, student IDs and stuff. I don't know. That's a good question because what they didn't, they like hole punched void in it. So it's not like I can use it.
Right.
So But it is cool to see what I look like back. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. I remember when I got my first driver's license, they used the picture from my permit.
Ooh,
they moved
that's
it over.
Rough.
I remember I had just come from soccer practice at the time, so I was a little sweaty. I had a buzz cut going on.
Yikes.
Real young, real cute. But then, because of that picture, I made a decision that I am never going to take a serious driver's license picture.
Oh, okay.
So I always try and do something that's a bit comical. Like this last time that I took my driver's license picture, I wore a hat up until I took the picture so that I'd have like a little red square on my forehead.
Oh, no.
I did my hair. My hair looks fine in the picture. But I did like, I didn't show, you know, you're not supposed to smile or whatever.
Well, I thought that varied by the state.
Yeah, you can smile a little bit, but they don't want you like big cheesing for some reason.
Ugh.
But I have like this little dorky like smirk slash smile I did in my picture this time. And every time that I go into a bar now, they're always like, we'll let you in, but we got to see you make that face first.
Oh no!
So it's kind of backfired on me, but I always think with a driver's license, I mean, your appearance can change so much. Like, what if I took my picture bald?
Well, my thing is, what if you, like, have a totally different haircut and color? Girls change their hair as the wind blows sometimes, or as the breakup occurs, or get bangs, God forbid.
Yeah.
And you look completely different. Like, I know I've been out sometimes and I've changed my hair. And luckily, like, they were able to look at it because they have those new, like, camera things where you have to look into it and it scans your face to recognize your license. But, like, back in the day, like, they didn't have that technology and they don't recognize you. What are you going
to... For sure.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, well, we got a little off course there. But I think in the NBA, there's going to be a lot of basketball players in the next couple days that are going to be on the move because we are hitting the NBA trade deadline.
Ooh, exciting.
And someone that a lot of people know, whether you're a sports fan, basketball fan, or just a fan of pop culture and like to keep up with all the people that Kendall Jenner is dating, is Blake Griffin.
Where is he moving to?
Blake Griffin has recently moved to Brooklyn.
Oh, interesting. Is Kendall Jenner going to get a house there or an apartment?
Apparently, Kendall Jenner now is with a different NBA superstar.
Of course.
Devin Booker in Phoenix. She's a warm weather type of girl.
You know what?
She was with Blake in L.A., Devin Booker in Phoenix. But Blake originally, like I said, was in L.A. on the Clippers. He got traded to the Detroit Pistons.
Okay.
Reached a buyout with them and is now moving to Brooklyn, who looks like maybe the favorite to win the championship.
Interesting.
So it's definitely a move where he was willing to take less, have a role maybe coming off the bench to win a championship.
Now my question is I don't follow the NBA as closely as you do. We're on a date or we're friends and we're hanging out for the first time. Is a good question to ask, who else is on that team? I'm not familiar with Brooklyn. Who else could be on that team?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And like you said, for you, it's unattractive. Not necessarily unattractive, but a little off-putting if someone doesn't know anything about sports.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I'm not saying if you know about sports, you should act like you don't. But I think there's a lot of guys that like talking about sports or being like, oh, yeah, there are other players on this team. Like, let me tell you.
Yes.
And that's where you get into the slippery slope of, okay, yes, tell me and let's have a conversation versus don't mansplain everything to me.
Yes, that is something. Because it's a fine line where it's like you want to seem interested in the other person and their interests, but you also don't want to talk about it for 9 hours.
Right, exactly. Where that's the only thing you talk about all night. But for Blake Griffin, that is my favorite athlete of all time.
Interesting. I
didn't yes. know that. Fun fact about me. So I'm really excited that Blake has a chance to win a title here in Brooklyn. But the move from LA to Detroit is one where you're just like, ugh. Like, really, I gotta go from the L.A. beaches, the L.A. scene. I know Blake Griffin's very heavily involved in comedy and things of that nature, so he's in a great market. So now to move from Detroit to Brooklyn.
But I feel like Brooklyn has their own niche. Like,
no, I'm saying in Detroit, he didn't have that. But now going, when he went from L.A. to Detroit, he lost that.
But I think he'll find it back again in
Yeah, from Detroit to Brooklyn, being close to New York City, back in a big market. He's got to be excited for things outside of basketball. But for anyone that doesn't know, if you want to talk about basketball and who might win the championship.
Well, that's a good one.
I like the Nets, as I said. The Lakers with LeBron are a fantastic team. And the LA Clippers have some real superstar power out there. So those are the three favorites. Those are the ones that people are really looking out for. But you never know. With everything that's going on right now, and like we're seeing in college basketball, there can definitely be a lot of surprises in sports.
Well, now, funny that you mentioned that. A big surprise. Well, I wouldn't say a big surprise is, I've never seen this before, but a referee being banned. Like, forever.
What sport is this in?
This is in hockey. And I didn't realize that you can just be banned indefinitely, which is shocking. But I'm going to let you go into more detail of why this referee was banned and what exactly could you have done to be banned indefinitely from the NHL.
Yeah, so I had seen this, and this is a referee that's been with the NHL for a long time. And when you work for, at the end of the day, the NHL, the NBA, NFL, they're all an organization. So you work for this organization, you work for this company, you have a good rapport with them. So it's like, why is this guy that's been with the league so much being banned? And he was refereeing a Nashville Predators game. This referee is also set to retire at the end of the year. So he's already going to be done. And he was caught on a hot mic.
Ooh, love a good hot mic take.
So basically, he's got a microphone on in case he needs to make any calls during the game in which the TV broadcast or when there are fans in the arena. I think they have limited fans, need to say it or need to hear it and hear what decision he's making. Well, with 12:42 remaining in the second period, the Nashville Predators broadcast captured audio of the ref talking about a penalty. A penalty was called, and in hockey, when a penalty is called, if it's a minor penalty, you have to have a player go to the box for 2 minutes, which basically means your team is down a player for 2 minutes. He said, it wasn't much, but I wanted to get an effing penalty against Nashville early. Basically saying he wanted to hit Nashville with something early. He wanted to make sure that everyone in this game knew, hey, I'm not going to take any crap. But the NHL deemed that that took away the integrity of the game when you have a referee that preemptively knows he wants to penalize one team or the other. So they have said he will no longer referee any more NHL games in the rest of his life. What a way to go out instead of your retirement.
That is crazy. So was he mic'd or just another microphone heard it, you know, and picked it up?
I'm pretty sure he was mic'd because, like I said, referees have a mic on them in case they have to make a decision. So I'm pretty sure he had a mic, but the Nashville broadcast caught it. So it might have been their microphone that captured it, but definitely something that the NHL frowns upon, is not happy about, and will not tolerate, and is going to make sure that this doesn't happen again. I'm sure every other referee in the league received a warning, a message, this is what's going to happen, make sure that it doesn't happen to you. But I'm curious, and I know I've had a couple in the past, have you ever had a hot mic moment? So what I'm thinking here is maybe you butt-dialed someone and you were talking about them, and Siri heard them say their name and they called them while you were talking about them. Or the infamous, you take a screenshot of a message that you're having or a conversation you're having with someone and send it right back to them instead of sending it to your friend.
So I am more where, like, because I'm always on the go and always moving, where my phone is connected to my Bluetooth in my car, and the other person, I don't know what it is they never hang up. And it's like my pet peeve. It's like, when we're done, okay, bye, talk to you later. I'm always the one that has to hang up. And I'm like, why can't you just press end? So then they don't hang up and I keep talking, and sometimes it's not the nicest things or things like what I'm saying, and they hear me and I'm like, just hang up the phone. I've definitely done the text message. The best is, I think, for females or for girls, when you're texting a crush or someone you like, and of course we all have to get our opinions from our other friends or girlfriends, and you screenshot the message and you send it to them. What do I say? Or like the bubble pops up. That's always a great feeling. Anybody in any like relationship or anything, when you see the three bubbles, like, it's exciting, right? Like, you get that like high or so, endorphins and stuff. But I definitely have screenshotted a conversation, meant to send it to a group chat of my girlfriends, and accidentally sent it to someone else. The person I was talking to. Those have been my experiences. How about you?
Well, first let me say, boys know that girls are sending the group chat
message. I was going to say, I hope they know this.
Boys absolutely know.
New news.
And boys, if you're listening and you didn't know, after you go on a date, after you talk, the message is going to the group chat. So I typically just like to throw in a message and be like, so what did the group chat think about our date? Like, just call them out. Let them know that you know it's happening. Just embrace it. It'll be funny. No one will care. But the first one that comes to my mind of kind of a hot mic moment or a moment where I was like, oh man, I better really watch what I'm doing here and be careful, is my freshman year of high school. Mm-hmm. I was texting these two girls.
Ooh, at the same time?
Well, one was named Christy and one was named Kirsten.
Oh my goodness.
And they both had the same last name.
Of course.
So, I mean, you're texting them and, you know, freshman year of high school, freshman, sophomore year, you're firing text messages.
Did you have a BlackBerry?
You're not busy. Well, I had a Razor, an Envy, Flip.
Yes.
I had... The Sidekicks were big at the time.
Ooh, I love a good Sidekick. Those were fun.
But yes, so Christy and Kirsten, they both have the same last name. Messages are flying. There's the little bubble and it says KF for both of them.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, oh man, I better watch what I'm saying here and make sure that I keep my conversation straight.
Wait, can I stop you really quickly?
Just
go
ahead.
I understand and everyone gets the clear picture. You were talking to both of them and you had a crush on both of them, or they both had a crush on you? Or you were dating both of them?
If you saw me freshman year of high school, I don't know if anyone had a crush on me.
Oh no, don't say that.
I was like little brother cute.
Oh no.
I was also 5 foot flat the start of my freshman year of high school. I was a little guy with a buzz cut. I will fully admit, I was little brother cute. These are just people that were like my friends, but I'm sure I had a crush on them. I mean, at that age, you have a crush on any girl that walks by you and maybe puts some perfume on and smells good. It's like, it just does something. And you're like, oh man. But yeah, so those two, that's my first thought of a hot take moment. I've definitely done the screenshot and send it right back to someone. One time I did it with someone that I was dog sitting. She had sent me the dates of like when to dog sit. And I took a screenshot and meant to send it to my sister just to like let her know, hey, this is where I'm dog sitting. And I sent it back to the woman whose dogs I was going to watch.
No.
So, I mean, that wasn't bad, but she's just like, did you mean to send this right back to me? And I was like, oh, shoot, no I didn't. Like,
sorry.
I hope she doesn't read into it because it's literally nothing. So be careful with butt dials. If you're talking about someone, make sure you don't say the word Siri at all in the conversation about them. Because any Hey Siri that it might pick up, you never know who you might be on the phone with and who might be listening to what you say.
You know,
now, before we move on, I do wonder, if someone butt dials you, do you listen for a while?
Oh, I do. 100%. 100%. Because I always want to know if I was the last person you called. So if I was the last person that you called, you're most likely I'm still on your mind. So there, you could still be potentially talking about me, whether it be positive or negative. That's for me to find out.
I guess that's true. That's a good point. See, mine's a little bit different because since your name starts with an S, you're much lower in the contact list than
true.
My name with an A.
So true.
Sometimes I can get accidentally called by someone I haven't heard from in years, but it's just because my name is closer to the top of a contact list than yours is.
I like that. I love how we both looked at our phones when you said, hey Siri, just to see if it would pick it up.
I know. I double checked. I was like, oh, don't listen to me. Don't listen to me.
Yes.
And honestly, my Siri, I changed the voice to a little Indian man.
Oh my goodness, that made my day. I love that so much. I need to do that with mine.
It is pretty funny. If you haven't changed your Siri voice to a British accent, an Australian accent,
ooh, that's a good one.
A male, a female, an Indian man, I recommend you try it out for a little bit. Just spice it up. It keeps life fun for sure.
Yes. And their translations are always the best, the way they say certain words. I love it. I love it a lot.
Do you love and like Demi Lovato?
I like her music. Her recent music's been pretty good. And she's quite developed from Disney Channel to where she is now.
Yeah, she's obviously had a long, interesting, winding road. I feel like a lot of young Disney and Nickelodeon stars do. They're put in the spotlight at an early age, but she's putting herself here in the spotlight with a new documentary that's being released. Have you seen anything about it?
Yes, I've seen all of the commercials, everything. I saw her original one, which I thought was super interesting, really to see a different side of celebrities. And then everything that's been happening, you know, with her life, and now she's finally, like, gonna tell us. I'm excited. I'm most excited because she kind of, I guess you would call this like quarantine love struck, where she got engaged right after quarantine and she hadn't known the person quite well. And this is the first, I believe, engagement she's been in, and then they broke it off. So I always like to see like what happened or why, and if it like the pandemic played a lot of it, because you know, human connection and things has been really hard for a lot of people, especially with, you know, the year everyone has had. So I always like to see, like, and know that, like, we're not the only ones struggling and not the only ones experiencing certain emotions.
Yeah, for sure. Demi Lovato is 28 years old and wow, has obviously been through a lot. In the documentary, which is called Demi Lovato, Dancing with the Devil.
I think it's a song, too.
Okay, she's very open and honest. I've seen brief clips of it, but she speaks about rape allegation, her heroin addiction, and a near-death overdose, the failed engagement like you talked about, and so much more. So I think for people that are fans of Demi Lovato, obviously this will be a good chance to really see her being open and honest and talking about the things that she's felt over these last X amount of years.
Yeah.
Exactly. But also for people that just are struggling to talk in an open and honest way about,
yes,
things that are difficult to speak about. I mean, all those things I mentioned carry a lot of weight and are very heavy things. So I think it will be good for, like I said, not just fans of Demi Lovato, but really anyone who has any experience with talking about tough topics.
I agree. I recently saw a video of her being a Lyft driver or pretending to be a Lyft driver, and she kind of like made fun of herself where she's like, "Are you a Demi Lovato fan?" And they're like, "Oh yeah." She goes, "But I think Selena Gomez is better. I like her." And she kind of like trashed herself, and I thought that was funny that she could make fun of herself. And she sang with them. She sang Camp Rock with these people. And then when they finally dropped her off at the destination, she revealed that she actually was Demi Lovato. So that was a cool side to see. So I'm excited to see if, like, you know, she still has that bubbly, outgoing, jokester personality with everything that has occurred in the past couple years. So if you want to check it out, it's on YouTube. So anybody can access it, and they have a couple different episodes, if I'm not mistaken, because there's quite a lot of information on a lot of things to cover. So instead of Netflix, switch over to YouTube, check it out, grab some popcorn, and let us know what you think.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of been the way that filmmakers are releasing documentaries now, is in an episode kind of way.
Yes.
With ESPN, something that was very popular was the Michael Jordan documentary,
yes,
called The Last Dance, and that came out in multiple parts. Before that, we had the O.J. Simpson documentary, which was in multiple parts. YouTube does this a lot. Justin Bieber, who recently came out with a new album, and it's great.
I haven't heard the whole thing, but I have heard it, some of it.
I think I've listened to the whole thing over and over again for the last 2 or 3 days.
Oh, wow.
There's not a song on the album that I don't like.
Now, do you consider it, because I heard there was a controversy because he wanted it to be like, not hip hop, but he wanted it to be in a certain genre and they didn't want to accept it as that genre of music. I'm drawing a blank. R&B. He wanted it to be R&B, and they were like, no, this album isn't. And I found that very interesting because I've only heard a few songs. So I'm going to have to go back and look to see if I can really hear.
Yeah, a lot of the songs are much slower. It's definitely a slower pace than something like when he first started with Baby or even recently Yummy, things of that nature where those songs are a little bit more upbeat. This definitely takes on a slower, more lovey pace.
The lyrics
are really well written. But I don't know if there's the R&B soulfulness in it.
Okay.
In the same way that people would say Lil Nas X, Old Town Road isn't a country music song. Yes, you hear hints of it, but it really just depends on what your personal take is. But we are talking about how YouTube has been releasing things in episode format. Do you like that things come out in an episode, or do you prefer when everything's out at once and you can just sit down and binge the whole thing?
I kind of think it depends. I'm a different person, like, I need to be hooked right away, or, like, I'll watch a few episodes and then never finish the series. So I think it kind of depends on... I like episodes because then it's quick and it's easy and you want to keep watching more. Where if it'd be like an hour and a half, 2 hour documentary, you're like, okay, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Then it creates anticipation and like more want for more content and more media. So I think that's better from a different perspective of like, oh, let's just do a 2 hour thing and be done with it, as opposed to let's do like 45 minutes worth of it and then do a couple different episodes of it. It makes the want more, and it makes people pay attention more with our, you know, little attention spans that we have these days.
Yeah, and the reason I ask is the popular Netflix show Too Hot to Handle.
Oh my goodness.
Which I watched that entire thing when it first came out. It was at the beginning of quarantine.
There was episodes?
A lot of time to watch. And it was just one season, and it was quite a few episodes, but it's coming out again, Too Hot to Handle Part 2. And for those of you that aren't familiar with the show, basically they take these very attractive singles. You might have seen some of them on Instagram. Probably the most popular one now is Harry Jowsey. He has found his way a lot on TikTok, Instagram, but they're very attractive single people who are put in this beautiful mansion on an island.
What a dream.
They share beds with each other, this and that, but they are not allowed to partake in any type of
physical
interaction, activity? Physical connection. Basically, you can't have sex. You're not even supposed to kiss each other.
Can you touch each other?
I mean, you can give each other a hug,
but... Can you hold hands?
I'm sure holding hands wouldn't do anything. You're not allowed to pleasure yourself, either. You can't touch yourself.
But what if you brought, like...
I still think that qualifies. And basically, if there's a pot of money for everyone to split at the end, and if you partake in this, so say you kiss... They can say, oh, that kiss was worth $5,000.
Oh, my goodness.
$5,000 deducted from everyone's total. So if someone breaks the rules, it deducts from everyone's total. So last episode, you had someone that was really like the rule enforcer of the house. And everyone finds their role. But they're coming out with Too Hot to Handle Season 2.
Interesting.
It'll be released this summer. But instead of dropping it all at once, Netflix is releasing episodes weekly. So it'll still be on Netflix, but you'll actually have to wait a week for the episode to come out.
So then you would just wait however long to binge it?
Right. Like I was going to say, so it's going to be like a typical TV show. But yeah, I would probably let 2 or 3 episodes stack up before I watch it. So it's an interesting take. I think there are some people that are going to love binging and some people that are like, I have a busy schedule. I love that I can watch one episode and know that next Thursday, next Wednesday, next Tuesday, whenever it may be, I can slot it into my schedule again.
I find that interesting because we're a society now that wants it now. They don't like to wait. So I'm intrigued to see how this does because people like the accessibility to just sit down and watch it all at once. So I wonder if they will have the patience for it to like wait each week or that anticipation is going to help it be good, craved more.
And I think it's interesting giving the target demographic of this show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe a show that's geared towards an older demographic that remembers, you know, waiting for an episode or checking TV listings, checking the TV guide,
recording
everything
that.
For, you know, people in this target group has been so readily available, and they love binging, binge watching, binge drinking.
Yeah.
It is a binge generation. So I'll be interested to see, like you said, how that goes. But are there any other shows on Netflix, Hulu, any other streaming service that you would recommend right now?
Yeah, so it just came out. It was in the news not too long ago, the college admission scandal and how that really played out. Obviously, translated onto the big screen, it's going to be a lot different in the sense of it's not the real people, it's actors, how it kind of came about and what really happened. It's going to be very interesting if you were intrigued in that news story and everything that's still partaking from there. Ginny and George is a good one. I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen so many good reviews and it's something that's on my list. I had a friend explain it to me, and it's this mom and her daughter, and the mom is very immature and the daughter feels more mature than her, and essentially she's a stripper and all.
Wait, the daughter or the mom?
The mom. The mom is a stripper and the daughter thinks that she is a nurse because when the mom works nights, she comes home, changes into scrubs, and goes back to sleep. So, a little interesting, kind of funny. Definitely recommend. It's in Netflix's top 10. Another one that Andrew has told me about and said it's highly recommended is, now correct me if I'm saying this wrong, The C-spiracy.
It is called C-spiracy, like conspiracy, but instead of starting with a C, it starts with C, C-spiracy.
S-E-A.
I mean, I don't know why they didn't call it conspiracy.
Ooh, that's a good one too, play on words.
It was sitting right there for them. But yeah, this is one that takes a look, and it's a documentary, you sit down and watch it all at once, at the commercial fishing industry.
Oh, interesting.
And the impact that it has on our oceans and so much more past that. The people that are involved in it, the people that sell things of that nature. So it starts with the filmmaker being a lifelong lover of oceans. He used to watch whales and dolphins with his family. He first focuses on the war with plastic in the ocean, which we all are familiar with. Metal straws, obviously, are very popular. The elimination of straws. And in the documentary, the filmmaker avoids using straws, utensils, plastic bags, because he says single-use plastic is killing the whales, and he's committed to doing what he can. And as he dives into that, he realizes that there's so much more that he's missed because of the fishing industry and the dead animals that he would find in the ocean at that time. So definitely not as light as a stripper pretending to be a nurse. A lot more in-depth than that, but definitely a good watch. And I think it's important to watch things like this that kind of are eye-opening, just like the social media documentary that was out on Netflix. And it really, a lot of people stopped using social media the same way that they did. I think documentaries are pretty impactful. So watch this with your family, watch this with your significant other, and have a good in-depth discussion about what you thought and other things that are important to you. It's a good way to learn about each other and the things that you're passionate about, other than just, for play on words here, other than just surface level things.
Yes. And then to change it up for our last one, make it more light and airy, is Mortgage or Marriage. Now, I personally watched this one and I find it fascinating just because it's interesting to see people's desires and wants. And it's about two people. One is a wedding planner and one is a real estate agent. And they're based in Nashville, Tennessee. And what they do is they take couples. They want to see if they want to buy a house or if they want a wedding. And it's interesting because it really shows people's priorities and if they're willing to spend the money on a big wedding or to spend it on a house that's an investment. So it's interesting to see how they really play into emotions and they try and tap into, like, no, you want this wedding. You want all your friends to be jealous of you. Like, you want, like, you know, always the bridesmaid, not the bride. Or, you know, we've been to so many weddings, now it's our turn. Or, you know what, like, I really want to start a family. And, like, I just want to be with the person I know. It doesn't matter if I have a big wedding. So I think that's something super interesting, especially with the younger generation. people in their 20s and in their 30s to see how they choose this big life decision, because that's a lot of money, whether you're putting it on a down payment or putting it towards a big celebration. So
yeah, that makes me think of something that a lot of people have differing opinions about, and I just want to get your opinion real quick. Do you think it is important to live with someone before you get married to them?
That's a very interesting question. I don't know. Personally, I think it jinxes the relationship. And I don't know necessarily if it's the best decision, but I think with your significant other, it's something you should discuss. And it depends on, you know, your relationship and your views and your morals and your ethics. Everyone is different. And I think it's something that you guys have to talk to about as a couple and what's important to you. I always get nervous to, like, I've heard all these like stories where it's like, you know, we moved in together, we signed a lease, but God forbid something happens and you guys are no longer, you know, together. In that sense, like, what are you going to do? Like, you still have to pay rent and you still have to live out the lease, you know, as opposed to like if someone owns a house and someone's just coming in and then splitting bills and groceries. And there's a lot of after effects or a lot of things that you don't think in the moment of, I want to move in with my significant other. So I think it's something that's important to talk about and something that you really have to think about with that person and say, you know, the best way to really know someone is to live with them. I kind of have like the two opposite ends where it's like, yes, I really want to be with them long term. This is going to help us decide if it's the best. Or it's like, you know what, I don't want to put myself in that situation, be kind of pessimistic in the way, like I don't want to ruin what we have is so good. So I can see both sides, I don't know.
That's why this show is called Offsides, because we look at both sides of every topic. And it's funny that it seems like you're more in the boat, and obviously it depends on the situation, of not living together before, because you think it jinxes it. And I'm very much someone that thinks you should live together before putting a ring on it.
Yes.
Because, well, I have another question for you and I'll come back to it. But I think, like you said, that's the best way to learn about someone. And those things that you say, if something comes up and you split bills and you have to start talking about that, well, all that happens after you get married too.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And now if it's not working out and that's more of a conflict than you realized, like, now you're in a marriage. And
that's
if
true.
That's something that is really tough for you too and might split you, like, you're in such a, like, different scenario now. But what do you think about moving in together after you've gotten engaged? So there's a commitment here now. Instead of just, oh, this is my boyfriend, this is my girlfriend. No, this is my fiance. We've made a commitment to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to move in together before we have a ceremony with our family and friends.
See, that's a different story. And you mentioned the word commitment, and I think that's a very important thing. I would feel more comfortable if there was a commitment and I knew this was the person, because then, you know, you said like it's before you're married and you can test all of that stuff out, really see how it works, you know, bills, how they look, if they have animals, like what if you don't like animals,
right.
You know? And I think if there was a commitment and there's more of like, okay, this is the person I want to spend my life with, we need to like move forward in that process. I could see that. I could totally see that. And I think that's personally, I feel more comfortable than as opposed to not like living with my fiance.
Right, yeah. Plus it makes wedding planning a lot easier. You're in the
yes.
same spot all the time.
Yes, I agree. So I think that for some people is a big thing as opposed to we're just dating. So that
well,
is my hot take.
Nice. Well, an interesting have you heard it news. You remember Sharpay from High School Musical?
Yeah.
Or as her real name is, Ashley Tisdale.
Love her.
She had a baby.
Oh, love it. She's so cute. I have been following her pregnancy journey. I'm not going to lie. Her husband and her, so cute. They announced that they were pregnant on their 6th anniversary of their wedding. And they just had a baby girl. And her name is Jupiter Iris French. What a name. She's going to do big things, right? With a name like that.
You would think so. That girl, that little girl does not need to create any stage name.
No, Jupiter Iris French. I love the name Jupiter. It's different, but it's not like completely out there where you're like, what were your parents thinking? But maybe they like the universe and the stars, and I'm for it. I'm totally for it.
I could see it. Someone else that was born with a name that you're like, wow, they have something to live up to, or they really are set up for something, is Michael Jordan. I'm not talking about the basketball player. I'm talking about Michael B. Jordan, the one that came after the basketball player. Your name is Michael Jordan, and maybe the greatest basketball player of all time was also named Michael Jordan. And now Michael B. Jordan has really made a name for himself.
Yes.
He not only is an incredible actor, but he's incredibly good looking. And the woman that was able to secure Michael B. Jordan, call Michael B. Jordan her boyfriend, is Lori Harvey. And you might be wondering, who is Lori Harvey? Let me tell you. That is Steve Harvey, the great game show host's daughter.
Wow, what an interesting couple.
Yeah, so it's funny because Steve Harvey recently spoke about Michael B. Jordan and said, you know, I've tried not to like him. There's always those jokes like, when someone seems so nice, you like try to find something. Okay, like there's got to be somewhere I can knock this guy. But Steve Harvey has said, I've tried to find something wrong with him that I could dig into and go, but I just can't find anything. He said, Michael B. Jordan really is like such a nice guy, such a nice man. He said, I met his father. I've sat with him. We talked for hours and I just can't find nothing wrong with him. And I hope that I don't.
Well, you know, that's so important too, because I know, like, when you really like someone and you bring them around your family, and your family obviously knows you the best, it's nerve-wracking for both sides to be like, are they gonna like them? Are they gonna pick them apart? Like, what's gonna happen? And like, I always get nervous bringing someone around my family or vice versa when someone brings me to their family. What are your thoughts on that?
About meeting a family?
Yeah, like significant others or your partners, you know, family or even friends, because sometimes, you know, you choose your family. Like, are you nervous or do you get excited, or like, are there things you don't say? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so when I'm meeting a significant other's family or even just someone that I'm very close with, whether it be a friend, I get excited. I mean, obviously you want them to like you. You yeah. only get one chance to make a first impression.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to, I mean, they're excited to meet you too. If this is someone whose son or daughter you've been hanging out with, I guarantee you they've been telling their family and their parents about you.
Yes.
If you're a nice person, which you should know if you've been doing good things or bad things.
Yes.
But they're excited to meet you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you should be nervous, but you should be excited too, because it's mutual there. But I think the most important thing is to not come in there and try and be the dominant force.
Okay.
To allow the grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, whoever it may be, to ask you what they want to ask you and just be very kind, polite, and genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if you come in there and like try and have this big energy or try and talk to them or really cater to them, then it can come off as overbearing.
Okay. So I like that approach. My question is, and this is something that someone might need to know, when you first go and meet a partner, significant other, friends, you know, friends or whatever, do you bring something to with you to them? Like, do you bring a bottle of wine, flowers, a candle? What is something that is good? Let's go from your perspective as a male meeting your female partner's family. What would you do the first time? Obviously, you're going to look good. Obviously, you're going to know topics not to talk about. What would you bring them?
Or yeah.
Is it polite to bring them?
Like you said, look good, smell good.
Yeah. Ugh.
I mean, definitely smell good. Yes. It's kind of like, it shouldn't feel like an interview, but you kind of want to view it in the same sense.
It's an interview.
In the same sense that you should look put together.
Of course.
If there's any moment you're going to be put together in front of this family,
yes.
It should be that first time.
Yes.
But to your question, I think it depends on the occasion. If I'm going over for dinner or a dinner party, or I've been invited like, hey, it's my mom's birthday, you should come over tonight.
Oh, gosh.
Like, then, yeah, it's polite to bring a bottle of wine or ask, oh, what can I bring?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, the person that you're talking to will be honest, like, oh, yeah, my mom loves flowers or my mom loves wine. Like, you could pick that up. But it definitely is situational. And, like, the first time that I met my girlfriend's family, we went to her little sister's horseback riding lesson.
Oh, okay. good.
Like, I'm not going to bring a bottle of wine with me to a horseback riding lesson.
I don't know what you would bring to that, because that's very situational. That's very, very different.
Right. So if you're going to something like that, like another family member's sporting event or something like that, it definitely depends on the situation.
Yeah.
But if you're going to dinner, if you're going to their house, yes, I would probably show up with a gift. For some reason, I've become a fan recently of, if I'm going to a friend's house, I like to take a housewarming gift the first time I've been there,
too. Oh, of course, yes.
Of a little plant or something, like a succulent or something like that. Something that's very easy to take care of. I'm not trying to get them something that they is going to die immediately. I try to find like a succulent or a cactus or something that only needs watered like twice a year and it's okay.
You know what's a good one? I went to a, this is kind of different, a full moon party. And it so happened to be back in October. And we were going to, you know, carve pumpkins, talk about the moon, what it represents, the type of season it was, yada, 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 yada. And it was the first time being at my friend's house. And I was bringing, you know, pumpkins and things like that. But I got her, and it was actually funny, I went to Trader Joe's. Love that place. And they had like a pottery of a skull, and inside of that they had like a cactus. And that's what I brought as a housewarming.
That is awesome, and I saw that. But have you also seen at Trader Joe's the succulents that are in the pots that look like someone doing yoga?
No, I have not seen that.
Trader Joe's really does have a good little selection of plants. So I would definitely recommend Trader Joe's for plants and also salad dressings.
Ooh.
The Trader Joe's salad dressings I've become big on.
Even the frozen food's really good. Like, you know, you're busy, you've been working all day. You're like, I don't want to cook. Pop in one of their, like, stuff from their gnocchi. Ugh, sweet potato gnocchi. I just, everything's good. The only bad thing, if there is something bad about Trader Joe's, is their produce goes by really quick, so you have to eat it right away. Highly recommend.
If you want to meet someone too, I would say there's cuties at Trader Joe's for both male men and women.
Or whatever your preference is. Yes, that's an interesting place to pick someone up. And it's hard too because you have masks, so you can't really see them.
The masks has made it hard, but the grocery store, there's definitely polite ways that you can speak to someone. You see what they're grabbing and you just got to walk by and be like, oh, I really like those. Good choice.
Well, you know what? That's funny that you say that because I was at the grocery store. I just so happened to be going down the alcohol aisle to get to another aisle, and this guy was stocking up. I was like, party's at your house. What's the address? And he was like, you know, it's a close party. Maybe next time. I said, all right.
Did you give him your number?
No, I got a little shy and didn't, but maybe next time. Maybe I'll slip in my business.
I'm telling you, I think the grocery store is an underrated place to meet someone because there are definitely ways that you can talk to someone in a polite way at the grocery store. And you can also peek at their cart and see what kind of person they are. Do they care about what they're eating? Do you like the choices they're making?
Yeah.
Are they having a party? You can tell like what kind of things they like to do. So don't underestimate the grocery store and especially Trader Joe's.
Yes, if you need a housewarming gift or going to meet a significant other, family, friends. Trader Joe's it is, or the grocery store.
So I want to ask you a question that's going to seem like probably is going to be the most random question that you hear all day.
Okay, let's hear it.
What is the name of your Wi-Fi network?
Funny that you mentioned that. I just changed my Wi-Fi to make it stronger, and so no one else can, you know, hack into my Wi-Fi. And that's a question that I really love, and I wanted something to be funny but also make sense. So are you ready for it?
I'm here for it.
Okay, it is. It hurts when the letter I and the letter P.
Like an IP address.
Yes. It hurts when I pee.
Oh,
that is my internet. If anybody sees it in my neighborhood, it hurts when I pee.
Oh my goodness. I'm sure it makes all of your neighbors laugh. And
I hope it does.
That's a lot more exciting than mine that is just my house number.
Ooh, but that's a good one. That's identification. So then they know where you live.
Yeah, everyone in my neighborhood, they're like, oh, we know whose Wi-Fi that is.
Ugh, boring.
There's no guessing whose it is, but when my friends come over and they're like, which Wi-Fi is yours? And I'm like, bro, didn't you type in the address to get here? Which one do you think it is?
Okay, I love that. How have you heard of any other funny ones?
I have heard of some other funny ones, and in college, I feel like it's a big thing when all the houses are so close or you're in an apartment to make your Wi-Fi something funny. Ooh. So when I was in college, we had one that was, hide your kids, hide your Wi-Fi.
Ooh, quality internet name. What are some other ones?
Why believe I can fly.
Ooh, that's funny.
That is one that I liked in the same music scene. I've heard of Wu-Tang Lan.
Okay.
L-A-N. Very tech. Girls Gone Wireless.
Oh, I love that one.
Drop It Like It's Hotspot. Another good one that I appreciate. And maybe my favorite one, Bill Clinternet.
Interesting. I don't know how I feel about that.
If I saw Bill Clinternet, though, I would be laughing. Abraham Linksys.
Okay.
Interesting ones, but I think Why Believe I Can Fly is a good one.
Another good one that I like couldn't stop laughing is Stop Being a Mooch. Yeah, get off my internet, man. Not your Wi-Fi. Quality. Similar to where I have my Wi-Fi, it burns when I pee.
There's so many IP jokes.
Or it's IP in the pool.
Ah, that's a good one.
This is actually kind of funny. Making Wi-Fi great again. I like that.
Very popular.
This one cracks me up. I will never not laugh at this. FBI surveillance van. I saw that. Nope. I gotta go.
That's very funny. I had a friend whose family would always name their Wi-Fi to look like a virus. They would call it virus 3KE_42. Just this That's crazy smart. Elaborate name.
That is so smart. Maybe I should change mine. So
I don't know. I like yours. I like it.
Well, those are some very interesting Wi-Fi names. Hopefully we've jogged some creativity in your brain. And the next time you need a new Wi-Fi or you move, those are some ideas. Hopefully you can be more creative and tell us what your next Wi-Fi name is. And maybe we'll mention you on the podcast. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Tell us about how any of our topics or things that we discussed helped you in engaging conversation, and let us know. Give us a story and we'll put you on here and we'll hopefully explain in detail how our conversations helped you in your in conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Offsides_media on Instagram. Share your Wi-Fi names with us. Yes. We want to hear them. Share your stories with us. Maybe stories about meeting a family, stories about a first date, just things that you want to hear us talk about. We're here for you. We definitely want to make sure that anything that you have questions about, we talk about and we can try and help you with. So definitely give us a follow.
Yes, and until next time, I'm Sonia with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A.
And we'll see you next time on the Offsides Podcast.